Welcome to the podcast of Maranatha Ministries. I'm Rick Frank, Senior Pastor of Maranatha, and I pray you'll be blessed by today's message. You can access all of our church information by going to our website at www.mmchurch.com or on all social media by searching at MM Church. And now be blessed by listening to today's message. Why don't we just have a quick word of prayer? I'm going to get right into building up to my sermon here today, and I got a few things to say before that. So let's just ask God to bless this time of teaching and preaching His Word. Lord Jesus, we pray that You will move and minister, that You will touch our lives and our hearts and open up our minds and our understanding to receive these things, God, that You have laid upon my heart. And I pray for Your help to express them in the way that I felt them and see them, and I'm asking that You will touch every one of our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' wonderful name, and everyone said amen. God bless you. You can be seated. How about we give Jesus one more hand clap of praise together? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. As you know, we preached last week, and in our sermon, we talked about Jesus being up close and personal. If you were not here, I do encourage you to listen to that sermon. It's still on our Facebook page, our YouTube page, or you can get it from our website. And in fact, I encourage you, if you can't make it to church, to make sure you listen to the sermons that are being preached. But last week, we saw in our sermon how Jesus got up close and personal with that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And I just want to real quickly just recount that story for clarity's sake as I go forward here, because in this case of Jesus getting up close and personal, the woman did not come to Jesus. Jesus was there waiting for her to come to Him, and she did end up coming to Him, but not by choice. She actually came to draw water, and in drawing the water, she found Jesus waiting there for her. And I want you to know that I did not come seeking for Jesus, but He was waiting for me to get to the place where He could introduce Himself to me, and I'm so glad He did. I wasn't looking for it, but I'm so glad He did it anyway. And in fact, this lady so much was not looking for Jesus that she did not initiate the conversation. She did not speak to Jesus first. He spoke to her. And we went over that conversation last week. I encourage you to listen to that message if you did not hear it. But let me just summarize it by saying that this woman was not out looking for salvation. She was looking for helping to make ends meet, get a little water for her little home that she had. She was not looking for salvation. And yet it was in the back of her mind, obviously, because she did not shun the conversation that Jesus started with her. And so it was in the back of her mind. But as it turns out, and I believe this is true with many, many people, what seems to be in the back of our mind really turns out to be what's on top of our heart. Amen? Some things may be in the back of our mind, but it is what is on top of our heart that we need to follow. I did not know on the top of my heart was wanting to be saved. It was on the back of my mind, way in the back of my mind, buried by many things in my young years of drugs and alcohol. The last thing I was thinking about was salvation, and yet on the top of my heart was the desire to be saved. And when Jesus introduced Himself to me, well, the rest is history. Can you say amen? And this sinner woman at the Samaritan well here wasn't the only one that Jesus got up close and personal with. And I want to talk to you about another example of Jesus getting up close and personal. I'm not going to put all these scriptures up on the screen simply because I have a lot to read here, and I'm just going to go through it. And most of you will be familiar with the story. If not, you will get the gist of it from these verses. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter number 19. It begins with verse 16. Behold, one came to Him and said, and the him here is Jesus. One came to Him and said, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" You see, everybody wants eternal life. Everybody wants eternal life. What people don't realize is everybody already has eternal life. You just got to decide where you're going to spend it. (Laughter) Hallelujah. He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what are you calling me good for? How do you know I'm good? He said, no one is good but one, and that is God. And that's true. God is the only one good, isn't he? He said, but if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And so this man reasoned within himself, and he said, as so many of us end up doing at one time or another, keep the commandments. Which ones? I don't want to live my life serving God, trying to see what I can get away with. Huh? I don't want to know the bare minimum I have to do to get to heaven. Because this to me is not really even about getting to heaven. This to me is really about pleasing the one who died for me when I was a sinner. That's what it's about. My goal is not to make it to heaven. My goal is to please Jesus. If I do that properly, heaven will come with the in the lump. But my goal is not to get to heaven. My goal is to please my Savior. Can you say amen? Well, he said, which ones? Jesus said, well, you shall not murder. I'm good there. Or are we? Because you can murder people without ever taking their life just by destroying their reputation in the minds of others by talking negatively about them. This might turn into a two-part sermon because I'm going slow here. I'm not even through the scripture reading yet. I'm already preaching a sermon. Thou shalt not commit murder. How many times do we murder people in other people's eyes? I think we need to be more careful about this than just go out and taking somebody's physical life. If you don't have anything positive to say, just shut your mouth and don't say anything. Go ahead, that's all right. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. Here's a young man who we just talked about before who got married and realized when he came to God what he was doing was adulterous and would have nothing to do with it until he could get all the legal ramifications straightened out and then went back to the marriage bed with his wife. That's honorable. You shall not steal. Well, we could go through every one of these, couldn't we? Because money isn't the only thing you can steal. You can steal somebody's reputation by bad-mouthing them. And who among us can cast the first stone? Every one of us could be bad-mouthed for one reason or another. Do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, I'm good to go because I have kept all of those things from my youth up. No, you haven't. No, nobody has. Nobody has lived a perfect life, but he took it upon himself to say, I have done all of that. He said, but what do I still lack? He knew there was something, and I am here to tell you, if you get down to the bottom where the soul of man is, every person on this planet will admit there is something missing in my life. Some people don't know what it is. They crave it in drugs. They crave it in alcohol. They crave it in relationships. They crave it in carousing. They crave it in family. They crave it from whatever source they can get because there is something missing in their lives. And he said, I have kept all of this from my youth, but I must still be lacking something. I'm here to tell you, my friend, when you realize this world does not satisfy, Jesus is what you're lacking. And to prove it, you want to know what you're lacking? Go sell everything you have give it all to the poor, and then come and follow me. Sell everything you have. What is it in your life that if Jesus were to ask for it, you would say no? Because that's your God. That's your God. Sell everything you have. Do not bank the money or invest it. Give it to the poor so that you have nothing, and then come and follow me. Because Jesus will give you everything you need to make it through this life and eternal life on top of that. That's the God I serve. But the young man, when he heard that saying, went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his apostles, assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know why so many down and outers come to God? Because they have nothing to lose anyway. The more you have to lose, the harder it is sometimes to come to God. My friend, let me admonish you. Put your trust in things above and not on things beneath. Serve the Lord and worship Him with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your might. And let Him add these other things to you if He wants to. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so the question on this man's heart was one that is on the hearts of many. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And while this question should be on the heart and mind of every human being, it is the completely wrong question. This is not the question to ask. What must I do to inherit eternal life is not the question anybody should ever ask. After all you just said, what? Because you can do nothing to inherit eternal life. You can't earn it. You can't give up enough to purchase it. There's nothing you can do to buy eternal life. Only Jesus can give you eternal life when you give your life to Him. The rich young ruler was coming from the wrong approach. My friend, everything that I have in this life, if I gave it all, does not make up for the sins I've committed. There is one way to heaven. It is through the cross of Calvary. It is through Jesus and Him alone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't give enough. You can't sacrifice enough. You can't love enough. You can't do enough. You must come to me. I am the only way in. And the only way to purchase eternal salvation is to die for your sins. But if I die for my sins, I am dead. But if I take the death that Jesus died, not for His sins, but for mine, I am alive. Praise God. You cannot earn eternal life. You can't do enough to get eternal life. You can't be good enough. You can't read enough. You can't go to church enough. And so you're thinking, well, why bother? I'm not here to gain something. I am here because I have gained something. I am not here to get something. I am here because I got something. I am not here to beg for something. I am here to say thank you for everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. And if there was ever anything you could do, it would simply be this. Surrender everything. Surrender everything. This can't happen until you allow Jesus to get up close and personal. Up close and personal. It's not easy. I have been in prayer meetings where Jesus wanted to get up close and personal. And I got to look at some things in me that he's looking at that I don't want to see. And not only do I not want to see it, I don't want him looking at it. But I can't stop him because he has this way of stepping up and getting up close and personal. And I'm glad he does, because in the end result, I'm always better off. Story at the woman of the well that we talked about last week. She could have walked away any time, you know. She didn't have to stay there. Jesus asked her for water. She could have said, I don't know who you think you are. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We hate each other. Get your own water. She didn't. She started inquiring. My friend, the best thing you can do is to start inquiring about God. Start inquiring, what must I do to be saved? Start inquiring, what does this Bible say? Best thing you can do is start. She started inquiring, what are you asking me for water for? Jesus decided right then, I'm going to get up close and personal. He said, go get your husband. I'm not going to re-preach last week's message. I'm just giving you the synopsis. She did not have a husband. He said, you're right, you did not. Now he's going to get really up close and personal and say, actually, you've had five husbands. And then he really wants to get up close and personal. He wants to get up close and personal with you right now. He said, not only have you had five husbands, but the one you're living with is not even your husband. At that point, a lot of people start pulling away. When he gets too up close and personal with us and we start feeling that little thing of guilt, you ever feel that little thing of condemnation? You know, somebody doesn't even have to condemn you. They just look at you and you're all condemned. Well, it's not them. It's God. People cannot condemn you. Only God can. And instead of running from her condemnation, she said, wow, she went and got everybody. You got to come out and meet this guy. Why? Because he told me everything I've ever done. You want to meet somebody like that? I've done some things I don't want to meet the guy that knows everything that I've ever done. But that's not the case. The whole crowd came out. My friend, let Jesus know everything about you. Do not try to hide from him. Pull the veil away. Show him who you are and say, save me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. But let's talk about this ruler now, who Jesus got up close and personal with him also, but his response was totally different. What good thing shall I do to have eternal life? Number one, there is no good thing you can do to have eternal life. Because what you have to do to have eternal life is get rid of the bad things you've already done. You understand? You can't do enough good to undo the bad. You have to have somebody wash that away. What good thing can I do? If I start going to church, I'll be saved. If I start reading my Bible, I'll be saved. No, you won't. You've got to come to a place of repentance. You've got to come to a place of water baptism where he can wash away those sins. You can't do enough good to undo the bad. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. Let's start there. Let's start with the commandments. Oh, okay. Which ones? I have met people like this. You're not one of them because you're here worshiping God with me, but I have met people that want to know exactly what God is going to require of them, and can I do that? If I come to church and start living for God, what is he going to start telling me to do? I don't know. Neither does your wife, nor your husband, nor your friends. Only Jesus knows that. And I'll just give you my quick testimony. I think I'll finish this next week. I'll finish up here, and we're going to keep this going next week about this rich man. Here's my testimony. Am I still on the camera? Here's my testimony. I started coming to church. I never thought, what do I have to do to get to inherit? What do I have to get rid of? What do I have to change in my life? Nobody told me anything. You know, if you're new here, you don't know my testimony. I come out of the late 60s, early 70s hippie movement. I had long hair. I had long hair as long as my wife's hair is right now. Long hair, real long. You know, I was one of those hippies. Drugs, drinking, that was my lifestyle. I came to church. Do you know not one person in that church told me that I needed to quit smoking, quit doing drugs, and quit drinking and get a haircut? Not a one. You know what they did do? They worshiped God around me. And they invited me to worship God with them. That's what they did. And I don't mean to repeat things over and over and over again, but sometimes I have to because new people haven't heard it yet. There are people that sit on these pews in this church service this morning that were in that church when I came through the back door with long hair, drunk the first time I came, on drugs, and sat down smelling like a stale cigarette. There are people in this church today who watched me come in like that and now respect me as their pastor. And that's why I will always say when that drunken bum comes stumbling through the back door and plops down next to you and he stinks like he hasn't had a bath in about 2 weeks and he smells like stale cigarettes and you can tell his eyes are a little glazed over from the whatever he was doing in the car before he came in, you better treat him nice because he might one day be your pastor. You treat him like the soul he is or she is that Jesus died for. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and clap. That's all right. I said all that to say this. I'm going to wrap it up with this. I'm going to finish this next week, all right, because we need to talk about this rich man for a little bit. But let me just wrap this up. When I came to church, nobody told me what was wrong with me. They just preached Jesus. They did not tell me what was wrong with me. They told me what was right with him. And the more clearly they expressed what he was like, the more awful I felt about what I was like. The better picture they depicted of him, the worse I felt when I looked down at me. And I remember how it happened. And I'm saying this for somebody. I say this all the time, but I'm saying it today for somebody. I remember coming to church. And I remember everybody worshiping God. And I remember the urge in my heart that day. I'd never done it in church before in my entire life, but there was an urge that day to lift my hands to him. I did not know the Bible said lift holy hands to the Lord. I didn't know that. But I felt this urge, and it was embarrassing. But I looked down this side, and everybody had their eyes closed, hands raised. I looked down that side, everybody had their eyes closed, hands raised. Nobody cared what I was doing. And so I threw my hands up in the air. My friend, when I threw my hands up in the air for that very first time, it was like shackles, chains fell off of me. I never felt exuberance, exhilaration, like I felt that day when I lifted my hands in the past for rock stars and musicians. I had never done it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when I did it for him, all the stuff started falling off of me and I felt free like I'd never felt before. And that's when the fun started. Because the next time I came and lifted my hands, I felt that little Holy Ghost speak to me and say, you shouldn't be coming to church drunk. And I stopped drinking. Because I felt Jesus wanted that. And I was smoking a cigarette. And I thought, these things are going to kill me one day. Jesus already died for me. And it was Christmas time. And I said, if I could give anything to Jesus as a Christmas present, what could I give him? I could give him better health for his son. And I put that last cigarette out. Do you mind me telling this story? If any of you have ever quit smoking, you know that you wait until you hit the last cigarette in that pack and then you're done. At midnight on Christmas Eve, I finished my last cigarette and there were still three in the pack. But it was Christmas Day. It was time to give Jesus his present. And I crunched them up, put the one out, threw it away. And I do not say this to brag. I have not had a puff of a cigarette since that moment. I did not quit. Jesus delivered me. Because I loved him. I wasn't asking what must I do to inherit eternal life. I was asking, how can I get closer to you? You are so awesome. You've heard the story of my last drink. I was in the bar drinking my second mug of beer with my hamburger for lunch, and I got halfway through that second mug, and I thought, this isn't doing for me what it once did. And I put it down on the bar, and I walked out and have not touched a drop of alcohol since that moment in time. It has nothing to do with Jesus said you can't. It had to do with Jesus saying, look how great I am, and me saying, there's nothing as good as you. This stuff doesn't measure. I don't need it anymore. I have found the source of true life. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to end this right now as our musicians come. I want to tell you something. The next time your flesh is rising up and craving this and craving that, let your spirit come to the forefront and say, you don't need it. I need to touch the master. I need to touch the hem of his garment. I need to look in his eyes. I need to see the crucified one. I need to see the one who died for me. And that will cause all the rest to fall away. It is not that I can't. It is that I don't want to. I don't want to. Trevor, you could have kept slipping with that woman. If you didn't hear that testimony because we weren't live yet, Trevor and Diana started coming to church. They realized what they were doing was not right. They had no options. But that man would not get into bed with that woman. He slept on the floor until he could say, for the rest of my life, I do. That's not done to please me because I didn't know a thing about it. That wasn't done to please Mama because she didn't know a thing about it. And that wasn't done to please the church family because they didn't know a thing about it. That was done to please the Master who gave his life for you. That's why we do things. That's why we do it. It's not for you. It's not for those around me. It's because I love him so much. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Follow me.
Thank you for listening to the Maranatha Ministries podcast. If this message touched you, please make sure to subscribe for more sermons from Pastor Frank and the ministry team here at Maranatha, as well as follow us on our social media platforms. We are located in Schenectady, New York, and if you are in the area, we invite you to join us during our weekly Sunday service starting at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to you joining us again next week for another anointed message. Thank you, and God bless.